We're on the bottom of Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, Meisvei. And the Gemara is now raising an objection against Rav. Rav was of the opinion that Moshe had the status of a Kohen. And the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Miriam, when Miriam spoke Lashon Hara against Moshe, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lasgira, she has to be locked up, quarantined, as it were, for 7 days. As a mitzoras, and that's in Bamidbar Perek Yud Beis. Me his gira, who was the Kohen who did the hezger? Because there's no way that anyone but a Kohen with regard to mitzorah could function in the capacity of hezger. And the answer is Im Tomar. Moshe's Gira, if you'll suggest the possibility that it was indeed Moshe who did the Hezger, Bryce rejects this possibility because Moshe is Zarhu. Obviously, Moshe is not considered a Kohen. And here we turn to Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. He ain't Zar Roes HaNegoyim. A non-Kohen does not have the authority to formulate a horah, to express a horah, and give a verdict over the inspection, over the determination of tzaras. Now, this is a little bit difficult because Moshe was a karov, and we're going to have a clarity about this point later on, that a karov is not roes hanegoyim. So the Braisa didn't have to state that because Moshe was a Zar, therefore he was disqualified for Horas Negoyim. He was disqualified in this case of Miriam because he was a Korov. However, there's a Machlokes as to whether or not Moshe was a Zar. And the Tana wanted to tell me a Chiddush that Moshe was a Zar. And that's what it says, Ein Zar Roeh Es HaNegoyim. If it would have said in this braisa Moshe was a Korov, it would imply that he was apostle only because apostle Oros Negoyim only because he was a Korov, but not because of his Zar. And this Tana holds that he's apostle B'Torah Zar, so the Tana wanted to point out that Moshe is apostle because Ein Zar Roes HaNegoyim. V'im Tomar Aaron is Gira. The Braisa says maybe it was Aaron who did the Hezger, and he for sure was not a Zar. Is the answer in that case is Ein Korov Roes HaNegoyim. Aaron for sure was disqualified as a Korov, even if he wasn't disqualified as a Zar. Now the Marshoi here has a question because there's a Mandi Omer back on Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis that we mentioned that Pinchas was a Kohen together with Aaron Ubonov. Why couldn't Pinchas be the one who would see the Negoyim of Miriam? He's not a Korov. And Karen Ora suggests that when the three of them went out to the old Moed and there was no one else with them, they understood that Miriam became a Tzaras and Lemanasha Tisogev V'Titoyer. And that would be a kapara for her avera. And therefore they felt at that point there should be a hezger immediately. So Aaron said, well, no one here has the possibility of doing the hezger. Moshe is a Zar. Aaron is a Korov. And Pinchas wasn't around at that particular moment. Then the Gemara says, the Braisa says the following, the Ein Korov Roes HaNegoyim. And a Korov is posel Re'iyas Negoyim. So Aaron is out of the picture. El Kovo Godol Cholakla HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMiriam B'Yosa Shah. What was the great honor that was accorded to Miriam at that moment by the Almighty? Hashem declares, Ani Kohen, Ani Masgira, Ani Cholta. God says, I'm a Kohen, I'm going to do the quarantining, the Hezger. I'm going to confirm her status as a mitzorah. Now, why is the Braisa add this concept of machlita, cholta? It seems that when a kohen decides that this tsaras, this nega has the symptoms, that he's able to declare the mitzvah as a muzgar, that's a 7-day period of hezger, and during that period, or shall we say the aftermath of that period, if the kohen sees again the nega, he reevaluates the nega, then he may decide that all the conditions of tzaras are present, and therefore he will make a pronouncement of mitzorah muchlat. So Miriam was sent out to the camp for 7 days, and the question is, can she be considered both a muzgar and a muchlat at the same time, just after 7 days? So I'm not sure if the Braisa means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to do both at the same moment, or maybe it means that Hashem decides and declares himself to either be a mazgir or a machlit, but not both. Now, the simonim of tumah, which the kohen has to identify, call it the symptoms, are michya oser lavan. And if the kohen identifies any of those simonim, then he's machlit the tumah. And if not, the kohen just does a hezger. He takes a look after the shivas yamim. And if pasa nega, if the nega spreads, or if there's a white seyar or michya that emerges, then the kohen does hechleit. He's machlito l'tumah. If not, he does a hezger of another 7 days. He looks at the nega and investigates it for the third time. And if there are no leida of simoni tumah at that point, the mitzora, who's muzgar yoshev, he sits chutz l'machna, and this p'tur. The hechleit requires priya uprima. Muzgar does not require priya uprima. In any event, the Braisa clearly indicates that Moshe Rabbeinu was a zar. K'toni miyos, the Gemara says. By the way, the word p'tur here in the Braisa is used as a substitute for tara. Sorry, I didn't point that out. Tani Mias Moshe Zar V'Ein Zar Ra'as HaNegayim. Moshe was excluded from Rias Negayim in the case of Miriam because he was a Zar, and that's a Kashon Rav. So the Gemara says, Om Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Shaini Maros Negayim. The exception here is Maros Negayim, the Aaron Ubon of Ksubim B'Parsha. The Parsha Maros Negayim Vayikri Yud Gimel Adam Kiye Ba'or B'Soro Se'esol Sapachas V'Huval Aaron HaKohen Olachad Mibon of HaKohenim. And therefore Moshe was excluded from Re'ias Negayim, even though he was a Kohen, because he wasn't from the Bnei Aaron. Now, you might ask the question, in all Avodos of Kohen, it always says Aaron Ubanov, and yet Moshe is included as a Kohen according to Rav. So what's going on in Re'ias Negayim? And the answer is that Re'ias Negayim is not an Avoda. And the Gemara pointed this out at the beginning of Masechta Zvachim, back on Daf Yudalit. So Moshe Rabbeinu was included in a special ribui of kahuna for avodas kahuna under as an expansion of Aaron Ubanov, but we don't find any ribui in the parasha of Negayim, which is not Navoda, that Moshe is included under the same category as Aaron Ubanov. So there's a din of kahuna as far as avoda is concerned, and there's another additional din of kahuna that has nothing to do with avoda, like Maris Negayim, and there too we require a coin, but it's not a coin for avoda. Moshe was Nisrabi, was included according to Rav under the first din of kahuna, but not under the second din of kuna. Now, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mazgir Miriam and then Choltu Patra, even though he was a Kohen, even he with a capital H was a Kohen, but he's not mibnei Aaron ubanav. So the Rav Steinman Zichron Livracha says that the din of a kohen al pi dibur is shona. That if the dibur decides, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that so and so is a kohen, or in this case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares himself as a kohen, then he's royal re'ias negoyim. And now we're up to the next mesve. Now, in order to appreciate the next mesve, let's just point out that Elisheva is the sister of Nachshon ben Aminadov, and she's the wife of Aaron. All this is clarified in Shmos Perek Vav. And now we're going to learn about Milchemes Midjan. And again, the Brisa that we're about to learn is a Kashon Rav. The Brisa says, Chamesh Smochos Hois Elisheva Yisera Al Bnos Yisrael. There are five things that happen on that day that would bring simcha and joy to Elisheva. Now again, this doesn't mean a din, a halachic simcha. We're talking about an emotional state of simcha. It was a halachic state of simcha that would pater her from avelus, but she had to experience avelus on that day because she lost two children. She was the mother of Nadav Aviv that died. So we're talking about the eighth day of the Miluim, and there were five reasons to generate her excitement. So it's a strange kind of paradox here, where she has avelus and yet five reasons for simcha, all on this eighth day of Miluim. The first simcha is Yevama, which means the brother of her husband, which is Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, that's a brother-in-law. He became a melech. Now, why does the Gemara use this term Yevama and not Achibayla? So the Ben Yehoyada, that's the Ben Ish Chai, he says that this is a remez that Elazar and Itamar were alive in the schus of Moshe, because there was a gzera on Aaron that all his children would die, but Moshe with his tefillah was able to be mevatel half of the gzera. This is all in Rashi and Vayikra Yud Peret Apostle Yud Beis. So if not for the tefillah, the prayer, the interceding of Moshe, then Moshe would in fact be a Yevamah. He would be miyabim her after the death of Aaron, because Aaron would die, if Aaron would die before Moshe, he would die childless. Now, a woman, in other words, in the case of Elisheva, if Achi Baila was a Talmud Chacham, then that gives her a certain yisaron, a certain advantage, so to speak, over other women who don't have that mila. So there's an extra cover to a woman whose brother-in-law is a Talmud Chacham. Like, for example, she goes first in a sudo or something along that line. And since she, Elisheva, has five smachos that go beyond that of Bnos Yisrael, and her Yevama, that's Moshe, becomes a melech, so she has the Maila of Achi Baila being a melech, and that touches on her status, just like if her husband's brother was a Talmud Chacham, which he was as well, of course. So we have to be mechabed her with an extra element of kavod. Now we go on to the second element of simcha, isha, meaning Aaron, her husband, kohen gadol. He was appointed as a kohen gadol. Number three, bina, which is Elazar. He was appointed as skan kohen gadol. and he's in charge of serving under the Kohen Gadol, and if, let's say, the Kohen Gadol becomes posel, he replaces the Kohen Gadol. Number four, Ben Binah, that means Pinchas Ben Elazar, her grandson, was appointed as the Mashuach Melchama. When Bnei Yisrael go out to Melchama, the Torah commands the Kohen Mashuach Melchama to make a declaration in front of the people, Shema Yisrael, Atem Krevim Hayom LeMelchama, that's in Dvarim Chav, Al Yveichem, Al Yirach Levavchem. So Pinchas was the Mashuach Melchama at the time of Melchemes Midjan. So when the army of the Jewish people go out to battle, they're addressed by this special Kohen who's designated for the purpose as a Mashuach Melchama, anointed for war. He was anointed with oil, with Shemen Amishcha of the Migdash, in order to read this parsha. And the Torah says, we read it just recently, in last Shabbos' parsha, Vayishlach Osam Moshe Elof Lamatet Latzava Osam V'es Pinchas. And at that point, they anointed Pinchas as the Moshiach Melchama, even before they went out to the war. Because in fact, the Melchemes Midjan was in the 40th year. And now we're talking about the 8th day of Miluim, at the very beginning of that period of 40 years. So basically at that point, at the beginning of the 40 years, they didn't need a Sgan, they didn't need a Mashuach Melchama. But nevertheless, we're going according to the opinion that Pinchas was Niskayan in Moshe, in Aaron, excuse me, and he became a Mashuach Melchama. Now if you assume that Pinchas didn't become a Kohen until after he killed Zimri, or until he made peace amongst the Shvatim in Sefer Yoshua, then we have to change the gears here to four smachos, not five. Now the fifth simcha on the list is Achia Nisi Shevet, means her brother Nachshon is the Nisi Shevet Yehuda. And the Nesiyah Yisrael would bring the Korban Chanukah San Mishkan on the day in which the Mishkan was Nimshach, was anointed. And that's the 8th day of the Miluim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe and he says in Bamidbar Zion that on every day of these 8 days, the Nasi would bring his Korban Nesiyah. And the first of the 8th day, I'm sorry, at the end of the 8th day of Miluim, Each Nasi would bring a Karbon, and on the first day, which was actually the 8th day of Miluim, Nachshon ben Imnadav, who's the Nasi, Shevet Yehuda, would bring his Karbon. And he was the first of all the Shvatim of the Nasiim to bring a Karbon. Now, on this same day, the Braisa continues, V'Avela al Shnei Baneh. She becomes an Avela, and a mourner for her two sons, Nadav Aviu, that died on that same day. Again, the Braisa really could have said almost the same thing about Aaron, because he became a Kohen Gadol on that day, his brother became a Melech, his son became the Sgan, his grandson became the Mashuach Melchama, and his Vigiso Nasi, And he was also an Ovel for two sons. So why does this Braisa single out Elisheva as if to exclude Aaron? And in the footnote here, he quotes the Be'eros Nasan, and he says that you have to look in Horios Daf Yud Beis with regard to Aaron. We can't say that he was an Ovel, because the Torah says in Vayikra Yud Rashechem Al Tifra'u Ubigdechem Lo Sifromu, that insofar as he had the capacity of a Kohen Gadol and he had to serve, therefore he wasn't in Avelus. So anyway, the Gemara now is medayik from this brisa. Ketani mias. It says in the brisa, Yevama Moshe became a melech. Aaron became a Kohen Gadol. It seems that Moshe was a melech in Kohen Gadol law. He did not have the status of a Kohen Gadol. Now Rav had said that Moshe was not only a Kohen, but he was even a Kohen Gadol. And here the Brisa seems to indicate, no, that Moshe was a melech, but not a Kohen Gadol. And this is against Rav. So Gemara answers, Emo, perhaps the gears of the Brisa should be changed, and it should say, Af melech. In other words, in the case of Aaron, Aaron is only exclusively a Kohen Gadol. In the case of Moshe, in addition to being a Kohen Gadol, he's also a melech. And now the Gemara is going to suggest, Kitanoi, that perhaps this whole issue about the status of Moshe really comes down to a machlokes tanon. Now, the halach that Rav formulated, that Moshe has the status of a Kohen, should be understood in the episode after HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Sneh requests of Moshe Rabbeinu to accept upon himself the leadership role as the Goel Yisrael. Moshe for 7 days refuses to do so, and at the end of the 7 day period, the pasuk says, Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe. So at this point, Hashem is pretty frustrated with Moshe, who consistently and repeatedly refuses Hashem's pleas, and he repeatedly begs Hashem to be relieved of this mission until finally Hashem gets angry. So the Braisa now quotes a machlokes tanon. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, Kol Charon Af Shem Nemar Batorah, Nemar Bo Sha'asa Roshem, some sort of simon of Charon Af, some sort of nezifa, klolo, giduf, some negative repercussion that's going to happen down the line. Like, for example, in Shaul, when he gets angry at his son, Yonah's son, in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chof, Vayichar Af Shaul b'Yonah's son, so that Shaul gave an nezifa to Yonah's son because Yonah's son had said, Ben Neos Hamoredes. I'm sorry that Shaul, I'm sorry, said about Yonasan that he's Mardus, he's a Ben Mardus. And Elihu got angry in Eov, and he says, Vayicharaf Elihu b'Eov, v'nozaf, and he gave him an Azifa lo rab mi'chakmu. Yaakov gets angry at Rachel, Vayicharaf Yaakov b'Rachel, and he gives her an Azifa, hatachas elokimani. And in all these cases, the Nezifa Osa Roshan. But the only exception to this rule, according to Rabbi Yeshua, is Vizeh, this case of Charon Af and Moshe for refusing consistently, repeatedly to take the job. Lo Nemar Bo Roshem. There was no Nezifa, there was no punishment. That's according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. We're not so familiar with that shita because we're more familiar and comfortable with the shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, who says, Af zeh nemar bo roshem, even in this case, there was a roshem, a mark is mentioned, shenemar halo Aaron achicha Levi. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai asks the following question on this pasuk: Halo Aaron Achicha Levi, Halo Aaron Kohen. Why does the Torah call him a Levi? Elohachi Kamar. He reinterprets this pasuk. Ani Amarti Ata Kohen Vehu Levi. My initial plan was that you would be the Kohen, Aaron would be the Levi. But Achshav, now that you refuse to take the shlichus, I'm going to punish you, and who Kohen? Aaron is going to be the Kohen. V'ata Levi, you'll function as the Levi. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha did not accept this drasha that there was a Roshem, He's of the opinion, as the Gemara quotes it in Yevamos Pei Vav, that a Kohen is considered Bichlal, he's included in the Levi as far as Maisus is concerned. So when it says that Aaron is a Levi, that's correct, because even though Aaron is a Kohen, he's also called a Levi. Rav Shimon bar Yochai on the other hand holds like Rav Akiva, and that's Sugya and Yevamos, that Maisur Rishon can be given to a Levi, but not to a Kohen. So if the Torah is calling Aaron a Levi, we have to darshan and come to some conclusion why he's being called a Levi. But in any event, the bottom line is that according to Rav Shimon bar Yochai at least, Moshe, even though he was a Kohen during the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, and that's undeniable because he did the Avodah, so the drasha of Rav Shimon bar Yochai that Moshe was punished, that has to be after the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, is the kahuna was taken away from Moshe following the Yimei HaMiluim, and that's the Charon Af of the Sneh. Now we have the Chachamim. Okay, this is a new interpretation of the pasuk. Chacham Orim Lo Niskayin Moshe Ela Shivas Yimei Miluim Bilvad. The Chacham are not willing to accept the shita of Rav Shimon bar Yochai that there was a nezifa, there was a real charon af with a repercussion. Moshe was only appointed as a kohen for 7 days. The kahuna was not ripped away from him as a result of Charon Af. The Yesh Omrim, others disagree with the Chachamim, and they claim that since Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of a Kohen during the Yimei HaMiluim, Lo Paska Kuhuna, you cannot remove and terminate the status of Moshe as a Kohen Li'olam, forever and ever, Ela Mizaro Shel Moshe Paska Kuhuna. Now I'm going to assume that this is, according to the Yesh Omrim, the Charon Af. The Charon Af is that the kahuna was taken away not from Moshe, but rather from Zaro Shel Moshe. In other words, in the original divine scheme, HaKadosh Baruch wanted to give kahuna not just to Moshe himself, but Lo Ula Zaro. And now it's being taken away from Zera Moshe. Shenemar, and he quotes a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, Moshe Ish Elokim Bonav Yikaru Al Shevet Levi. And the implication of the pasuk is that Dafka Bonav are called Levi. He himself, Moshe, is called a Kohen. I just want to add that according to Rav Shimon bar Yochai, that there was Charon Af, meaning, Halo Aaron Achicha Levi, and now instead of Aaron being the Levi and you be the Kohen, it's going to be the reverse. Hashem was really telling Moshe that since he, Moshe, refused to speak to Paro, and Hashem says, I know that Aaron is going to speak to Paro, therefore I'm going to make him the Kohen instead of you. There's also a Yalkut Shimoni. He points out that when it says B'nei Amram, Aaron u'Moshe, Vayibodel Aaron lakdisho kodesh kadoshim, hu u'banov ad olam, lahakti lufnei Hashem l'sharzol, v'aruch b'shmat olam, u'Moshe ish Elokim, meaning just like it says Vayibodel Aaron lakdisho, so to u'Moshe haya ish Elokim, he's also included in this Havdalah. But then the end of the pasuk says, in Divrei Hayom it says, Bonav, in contrast, the children of Moshe, Yikaru al Shevet HaLevi. They will not be Kohanim, they will be Levim. The Omer, now he quotes another pasuk in Tehillim, where Moshe is called a Kohen, U'Moshe v'Yaron b'Kohanav u'Shmuel b'Kori Shmo. So according to this opinion, Moshe was a Kohen for the entire balance of his lifetime, as we saw in Rav's opinion. And it comes out now that the words of Rav, the opinion of Rav, is really a machlokas tanoim. The Gemara now asks the following question, Mai vi Omer, why did the Yesh Omer have to quote an additional pasuk as a proof? B'chi teim, if you only had the first pasuk, U'Moshe Ish Elokim, and that proves that Moshe was a Kohen, is Ludorus who dixiv In other words, if you would argue that Moshe, the Ish Elokim, and the Pasuk says, let's see if we can read the whole Pasuk, just 1 second. Pasuk says, Umoshe, here it is. Umoshe Ish Elokim, Bonav Yikaru Al Shevet Halevi. In other words, maybe this Pasuk, in terms of the status of Levi, is only with regard to Banav. With regard to Moshe, it says Moshe Ish Elokim. So maybe that doesn't really prove anything about Moshe himself. Meaning, let's say this Pasuk in Divrei Yomim is addressing the historical period where subsequent to Moshe's death, and it identifies who were the Kohanim and Levim at that time, and therefore the thrust of the Pasuk is not with Moshe, who's already gone, but rather with Banav. So nothing is clear about the status of Moshe himself. He can't prove anything. And for this reason, he quotes the second Pasuk, Moshe the Aaron Bekohanav, that Moshe himself is called a Kohen. That's explicit in this Pasuk. Now the Gemara goes back to the beginning of the Braisa and asks the following question. The Kol Charon Af Shebetorah Nemar Bo Roshem, is it really true that whenever it says Charon Af in the Torah, there's some sort of a mark that's made? Vaksiv, what are we going to do with the Pasuk? That after Moshe Rabbeinu gives Paro a warning about Makas Bechoros, and Paro says that he shouldn't see Moshe again, in Shmos Yidal, Pasuk Ches Vayetze, which is referring to Moshe Me'im Paro Bechori Af. So Moshe is angry at Paro, because Paro says, Lo Yosef Liros Ponov. V'lo Omar Le V'lo Midi. In other words, we don't find an Azifa against Paro, a Giduf. We don't find that he hit Paro or anything like that. So here's another case, other than perhaps going to Rav Yishuv Ben Karach, the one case of Moshe, of Hashem vis-a-vis Moshe, but here's another case where we find Charon Af, Bechori Af, of Moshe vis-a-vis Paro, and yet we don't find a Roshan. So why are you telling me that called Mokom? Wow, this is mind-boggling. That Moshe Rabbeinu gave a slap on the face of Paro. He slapped him on the face. And then he went out. So you see this Charon Af and the Roshan. So that's according to the opinion of Reish Lakish. So the Gemara asks a stira, Umi Om Reish Lakish Hachi, don't we have another statement of Reish Lakish? Vaksiv. The Pasuk tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe, commanding him to give Paro a warning about Makas Dam in Shmos Perek Zayin. Then he tzavto likraso al sfas hayor, telling Moshe Rabbeinu to wait, as it were, for Paro on the seashore. Omer Shlokesh says, what's likraso? HaKadosh Baruch was telling Moshe, Melech, who Paro's a Melech, vahasberlo ponim. When you prepare to go to him, and you're standing in front of a gadol, a leader, is you have to be masbir lo ponim. You have to show him a respectful face. You have to court him with a lot of respect. And v'nitzavta l'krosa, according to Reish Lakish, means you shall stand to meet him, prepare yourself to meet him in a manner that's reflective of the position of Paro. So how can you tell me that Moshe Rabbeinu slapped Paro across the face? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan has a different understanding of a nitzavta l'krosa. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, Paro's a rosh hu, v'heiz ponecha bo, meaning act defiantly towards Moshe Rabbeinu, and the word likraso means a milchama, encounter him as if you were battling against him, take a firm stand and speak to him defiantly. And this would certainly seem to be absolutely the shita of Reish Lakish, not the shita of Yochanan. So the Gemara says, Epoch. Indeed, what we have to do is we have to switch around the shitos, reverse the shitos. In other words, according to the original text that we have, Reish Lakish was of the opinion that Moshe had to be treated, had to treat Paro with respect. How could he say that Moshe slapped Paro across the face? But now we're going to say the opposite. Reish Lakish was the one who interpreted the verse of Hisyatzev Benitzavta Likros Al Sfasayar as indicating that you should stand opposite him, defy him. It was Rabbi Yochanan who was the one who explained that this pasuk means respect. So now we're up to Omar Raviane, but before we get to that, let's just add a few points here. The Marsha says that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who says that Kol Charon Af Nemer Bo Roshem, in other words, you could always look in the Psukim, says the Marsha, and you will see a Roshem. And that we'll see again in the words of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who also says Af Ze Nemer Bo Roshem. And according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that's the Roshem that's written in the Torah itself, that Aaron was meant to be the Levi, Moshe the Kohen, it was swapped. Now, in the light of that, when Reish Lakish answers that Moshe Rabbeinu slapped Paro across the face, that's not in the Torah. According to Marsha, Nemar Bo Roshem means Nemar B'Torah Roshem. So we have a Charon Af, and there's Lo Nemar Bo Roshem. Even if you assume Reish Lakish that Moshe slapped Paro. So the Marsha answers that maybe the Torah didn't want to publicize, make it explicit in the Torah that Moshe slapped Paro because of the covenant of Malchus. According to others, like the In Yaakov, there is an indication in the pasuk that Moshe slapped Aaron. Because it doesn't say Vayichar Af Moshe beParo Vayetze, but it says Vayetze beChori Af. And that means that on his way out he slapped him. That's the Chori Af. The Eitz Yosef, also in the Ein Yaakov, writes that Moshe never really slapped Paro across the face, even according to Reish Lakish, but rather it means he spoke to him bi'azus, with defiance. And that's considered as if he slapped him. And that's mefurish in the Torah, because that's the way we're interpreting the pasuk v'nitzavta l'krosso. Now the Gemara here quotes the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, Rasha hu veheiz veha'ez panecha bo. In truth, the question is from Reish Lakish himself, because Reish Lakish says, Melech hu v'hazber lo panim. Why did the Gemara have to bother quoting Rabbi Yochanan in this context? So once again, the In Yaakov suggests that it's possible to answer that Paro was originally a tzaddik, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Shiyazber lo panim, at the end he became a Rasha, and then Moshe hit him. Therefore, the Gemara quotes from Yochanan, who says that even Mitchilo Paro was a Rosh from the get-go, and therefore, if we assume that Reish Lakish would not possibly disagree with that point of Rabbi Yochanan, it means that even a Rosh, even a Melech who's a Rosh, you have to be Cholik lo Kovit. So that's why he quotes Rabbi Yochanan to say, Rosh hu mitchiloso. Now, Rashi says, Ein lomar shesova rav kidas chachomim. In other words, the Chachamim were of the opinion, if you recall, that Moshe Rabbeinu served as a Kohen just for 7 days of Miluim. And Rashi points out that that's not Rav Shita. You cannot identify Rav with the Chachamim. Rav is not coming to tell us a Chiddush that Moshe was Machayim for Shivas Yimei Miluim. That's explicit in the Psukim. But rather, Rav's Kavana, Rav's intention was to tell us that even after the 7 days of Miluim, Moshe Rabbeinu remained a Kohen, and as we said, Lo Pascha Mimena Kohuna. Alright, let's pick up the Gemara of Rav Yanai now. Omar Rav Yanai, the Gemara discussed the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to be Masbir Ponim LeParo, and after the Epoch that means Reish Lakish. So the Gemara now goes a little bit off on a tangent for a short while about Kvod Malchus. Omer Avyanai Li'olam Tehe Malchus Emas Malchus Olecha. We should always have an experience of awe in front of Malchus. And that's why when Moshe Rabbeinu warns Paro about Makas Bechoros, he says, Kasher Tovo HaMaka. Moshe tells Paro that when the Maka will begin, V'yardu kol avadecha eila eilai v'shtachu li lemar tse'ata v'chol ha'am. All the servants of yours will come down to meet me and bow down to me. V'ilu l'didei lo ka'amrale. He didn't say it regarding Paro himself. He only said that the Avdei Paro will come down to bow to me. In other words, even though at the end of the day what happened was that Paro himself called in Moshe and he petitioned and he begged him to get out of Mitzrayim, but yet before that happened, Moshe Rabbeinu just says, V'yardu kol avadecha eile eilai. Now this pasuk, V'yardu kol avadecha eile eilai v'shtachu li in Shmos Yad Aleph, pasuk ches, this takes place before the Makas Bechoros. Moshe is telling Paro that after the Makas Bechoros, the servants of Paro will come to Moshe and beg that the Jews be left out of Mitzrayim. But Moshe never said, you yourself will come to beg me, even though that's what happened, because Moshe wanted to give respect and speak with a certain awe in front of the Malchus. Now Rabbi Yochanan is going to quote a different source in Malachim Aleph Perkid Ches to derive the same conclusion of Yesh Lachlo Kovet HaMalchus Mehacha. It says in this pasuk that after Elio stopped, he terminated the Geshem, and this took place for a period of 3 years. And this was all because of the sins of Ahav, who was a terrible, wicked king of Israel. And as a result of the Atziras HaGeshem for 3 years, there was a situation of Ra'av. There was a famine in the land. And again, all this was because of the sins of Ahav. And yet, the Pasuk says, V'yad Hashem hoisa el Elio. Okay, yeah, let's read it again. V'yad Hashem hoisa el Elio. Vayishanem Mosnov Vayoratz Lifnei Achav. Elio is running in front of Achav. Achav was riding alone, and that's HaKovet HaMalchus. So we learn from here that Yesh Lachlok Kovet HaMalchus. Kovet HaMalchus. So what happens is that after the Ra'av becomes very severe, Elio asks Achav to gather together the Jewish people at Har Carmel, and to gather together all the Nevi'a Baal and Nevi'a HaSherah, this kind of idol worship there, at Carmel. And that's where Elio is going to bring two karbanos, one Lashem, one Labaal. There's not going to be Eish, they're going to pour water on it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send the Eish to the karbon of Hashem. The people agree, the Nevi'a Baal bring the pyre on the Mizbeach, on their Mizbeach. They call out to Baal the whole morning that he should respond with an Eish. And then about Mincha time, Elio is makriv his power. He davens to Hashem, praying that Hashem should bring down the Eish from Shemaim on the Mizbeach. And the Eish comes down. Elio then commands that the Nevi Baal be put to death. And he tells Achav that he should very quickly ride, meaning get lost, so to speak, before the Geshem will just, you know, what word am I looking for? Well, a marble will come down and inundate him, we could say that. And a Geshem Godol comes down from Shamayim. Elio runs in front of Achav to a place, to Yisrael. All this is recorded in Malachim Aleph Perek Yud Ches, and all this is done because of the respect that Elio has for Malchus, even though we're talking about a Melech Rasha. So Achav is on this chariot, and none other than Elio, the Navi, is running in front of Achav's chariot because it's undignified for the king to ride unescorted. Omar Ula. Now the Gemara discusses the question of whether or not Moshe was a melech, as we described earlier. Omar Ula bikesh Moshe malchus v'lo nasnu lo. And Moshe Rabbeinu requested malchus. Dichsiv, as it says in Shmos Gimel. First we'll go back to Pasuk Dalet, and then we'll see Pasuk Hey. In Pasuk Dalet it says, Vayikrei lav Elokim mitoch hasneh, Vayomer Moshe Masha Vayomer Hineni. Hineni is a lashon of Kohuna and Malchus. Basically Moshe was requesting both Kohuna and Malchus. And others say that Hineni is a lashon Zimun, that Moshe himself was prepared for the Avodah to serve Hashem, which means Malchus, and to lead the Tzibur. And in the next pasuk it says, Shenemar, Al Tikrav, Ksiv Al Tikrav Halom, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu's request was not granted. Don't come any closer here. And the word halom here is a reference to malchus. And how do we know this? Ein halom elashem malchus. Shenemar, a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Perek Zayin, David says, Mi anochi Hashem Elokim ki havi osani ad halom. Which means that you have granted me kingship, you have himlachtani. Meaning, even though I, says David, I'm not worthy of this, but in any event, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Al Tikrav Halom, he means that he can't come close for the kingship, for the Malchus. So let's go over a little bit the context of the Pasuk in Shmuel, which serves as a proof for the interpretation of the word Halom. Nasan HaNavi brings David HaMelech a message from Hashem that David's descendants will be the kings of Israel for all time. And David HaMelech is overwhelmed by this divine gift. And he exclaims, Mi Anochi Hashem Elokim, meaning, I don't deserve this. And he uses the word, Ki Evei Osani Ad Halom, meaning that he would merit the kingship. Masiv Masiv Rava, Rava asks Akasha from a different Bryce. So the Bryce says, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Yivama, the Yivama of Elisheva, that's Moshe Rabbeinu, Melech. So how could it be that according to Ula he's not a Melech? It's against the Bryce, because as we saw, Ula assumes that Moshe Rabbeinu requested Malchus, but his request was not granted. Omar Rava says there's no stira. Lo ulazaro ka Omar. What Ula meant was that Moshe, when he was mevakesh melucha, it was for him and his zera, but that wasn't given to him, and his zera would not be melach. Moshe himself, however, would be a melech, and the pasuk at the end of the Torah says Vayehi b'shuv melech, that's a reference to Moshe. And therefore, when Ula says Pikesh Moshe Malchus, he was Mavakesh the Chok of Malchus. And the Chok of Malchus is that there's a Yerusha of Malchus to his Bonim, and that Chok of Malchus was not granted to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara now asks the following question. V'chol heicha d'chsiv halom l'dorosu? Are you telling me that the word halom means Malchus l'doros for all generations? For ha gabi shol d'chsiv, you know, Shmuel set up a lottery to clarify who is the man that was chosen by Hashem to be a melech, and the lottery fell on Shol ben Kish, and they looked for him and they didn't find him. He was nechbel akelim, he was very shy and very humble, and Yisrael asks Hashem hava od halom ish. Now, what does this pasuk mean? Hava od halom ish. Let's just first translate. Of whom is it written? He is the man. He, the man, ever came here. Halom means ever came here. So the Jewish people basically were requesting that Hashem appoint a king, and Shmuel HaNavi appointed Shaul ben Kish. Shmuel summons all the Shvatim to hear him, Shmuel, proclaim that Hashem had designated Shaul as the Melech. And during this very dramatic ceremony, Shaul was chosen by the casting of a Gorol. At that point, however, Shaul himself was nowhere to be found. He was hiding, he was extremely humble. And the Jewish people were searching for the new king, and they asked Hashem, has the man ever come here? So we see that the word halom is a reference to Shaul HaMelech. Now Shaul HaMelech was not a melech l'doros. And the Gemara therefore says, who in Zaro lo? So how can you tell me that the word halom is a reference to Melucha Lidoros? After all, the children of Shaul did not inherit the Melucha. So Gemara answers, Eba, he said, I'll give you one answer. Ha'ave Ish Boshes. That Ish Boshes, who was the son of Shaul, was the Melech after the death of Shaul, as it says in Shmuel Beis Perek Beis. The Eba is saying, in a second answer, and it would seem that the Gemara needs a second answer, because the Malchus of Ishbosheth was not really a Malchus, and Halom L'dorosu, which means Lo L'Zaro L'Zera Zaro, and that wouldn't apply to Bosheth, because the children of Bosheth did not become a Melch. So the Ibai is saying, let's offer a second answer, that Halom means Lo L'Doros. I Nifsika Malchus Shol is shiny Shol Dafilu Begave Lo Koyim. Even he himself was really not Zoche to Malchus because he sinned, and he caused with his sin that his Malchus should be taken away from him. So in effect, even Shol was not a Melech, or shall we say, is not a permanent Melech. And the Gemara says, "Kidi Rabbi Elazar, the Omar Abchanina, b'shosh poskim gedueli adam poskim lo ulazarat sof kol adoros." So initially, when you give a person greatness and stature, it's for him and his children throughout all the generations. Shenemar poskim iov lo yigra mitzadik einov the es molochim la kise vayoshivem lo netzach. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is posting that a person should sit on a kisei lo lezaro lenetzach, the kisei of Malchus. The imheges daito, if a person becomes a balgaiva, and therefore he's not roy, he's no longer suitable for this greatness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpilo, God brings him down. Shenemar, it says there in Iov, vayigbohu V'yamasurim bazikin yilochdun bechavle oni. And if they are bound in chains, caught in the cords of poverty. And this is because of gavus libam, the opening word in the pasuk is vayigbahu. And that's going to cause them to be bound in chains. And the chains here are probably chains of suffering, of yisurim. And they're bound in these yisurim. So Shaul, with his sin, the gedulah was taken away from him. And nifsika lo ulazaro. In other words, the pasuk that follows immediately after Vayishivem la'netzach vayigbehu, that he established them forever, they are exalted. And afterwards it says, Yilchadun b'chavli oni v'imasur b'zikin, and that means that they'll be punished with chains of poverty and suffering. Now, I wanted to mention to you that it's a little bit strange that the Gemara needs a pasuk, a special limud, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is posing Gedula Gam L'Zaro. We have a halacha, a basic halacha, that Zaro Yoresh Es Gedulasa. That a minui or a srara is always passed on through inheritance. So the Ksam Sofer suggests that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is posing Gedula to a person, and he's posing that even the banim should inherit that Gedula, they become the Mamale Makom. They take over for their melech, for their father after he dies. And that's a Yerusha Bedin. But nevertheless, if a person was Megis Daito, if he became so full of himself, so conceited, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes him, and his children will not be able to replace him after his death. By the way, the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Melachim says that if a king will be appointed who's not mibeis David, tiposek hamalchus mibeiso. Now, it's only with regard to malchei beis David do we have this guarantee of hema'omdim li'olam. For example, the malchus of Yerovam came to an end. The Ravid in Asogos asks on the Rambam. The Ram elsewhere himself says, "Kol Asroros Sheb Yisrael Hem Yerusha L'Banav L'Banav Ad Olam." And the Ravid says that Ilu, if not Hayazoche Yeravam, LaHaisa Melucha. If Yerav would have been Zoche, then his Melucha would never be taken away from him. But his Malchus was second to the Malchus of Beis David. So the Ravid is saying that there are two ways in which Malchus could be passed down to the children. One way is through Malchus Beis David, that special chain. And then there's a general universal halach of Sroros B'Yisroel, which the Rambam Paskin is also in Perek Aleph Milchus Malachim. So that Yeravam, even if he's not Malchus Beis David, he does have a secondary status of Malchus. And had he been Zoche, it would have been for him and for his children, because of the din of Kol Sroros B'Yisroel. There would have been some sort of parallel leadership in Israel. Maybe it would split one way or the other. I don't know. The Ravid doesn't tell us exactly how it would be a shared. It would be a shared malchus. Let me just see if we. The Yerushalmi in Shkolim says that ein moshchin kanim malachim. Now, according to Rav Shimon bar Yochai that we mentioned earlier, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially wanted to make Moshe into both a Kohen, Moshe into a Kohen and Aaron into a Levi, that's Rav Shimon bar Yochai, but when Moshe Rabbeinu got Hashem angry by refusing to take the position, Hashem made him into a Levi. So then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Al Tikrov Halam, that's because he was Masariv. Moshe refused to take the Shlichus to be the Redeemer of Israel, and the Kuhuna was taken away from him. And instead, Moshe would get Leviah, but not Kuhuna. Now, Bizman Zeh, he says, This is all the Chassam Sofer. He says, Harelo hoy yochol liosos melech. In other words, as long as Moshe was a Kohen, he couldn't serve also as a melech. And that makes sense that when Moshe had two requests, he asked Hashem to make him into a melech and a Kohen, it had to be one or the other, it couldn't be both, they're mutually exclusive. And since at this point HaKadosh Baruch Hu was interested in making Moshe into the Kohen, therefore Hashem refused Moshe's request to make him into a melech. But once Moshe Rabbeinu's status as Kuna was taken away from him, according to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, as we discussed, then Moshe could become a melech. And therefore the Brisa says, Yivama melech. That at the time of the Miluim, Moshe Rabbeinu gained the status of a melech, and that would make Elisheva very happy. Okay. Now we go back to the Mishnah, and really back to Masechta Zvachim after this long detour. And the Mishnah says, Balei Mumim, Bein Balei Mumim Ovrim, Bein Balei Mumim Kvuim, whether it's a permanent blemish or a temporary blemish, is Cholkim the Ochlin. They can't be Makriv the Karbanos, the Avoda they can't do, but they can request and be given a portion of the kodshim. They take a share in the offerings and they can eat the offerings. The Tana Rabbanan, Binani immediately the Gemara wants to know what's the source for this din that Balei Mumim will receive a share in the offerings. And the Gemara, quoting a Braisa, the Bryce in turn quoting the parasha of Minchin, Vayikra Vav, Kol Zachar Mibnei Aaron Yochlena, and the word Kol Zachar is a ribu, Ila Rabos Balei Mumim. So the Gemara asks on this Bryce, or the Bryce itself actually asks, Lemai, what did this ribu of Balei Mumim, I La Achila, maybe it's only to allow them to eat the Menachos, is Harei Kfar Nemar. It says with regard to Balei Mumim already in Vayikra Chaf Aleph, Lechem Elokov Mikodshei HaKodshim Yochel, and the Torah gave license to the Balei Mumim to eat Kodshei Kodshim. So the Bryce answers, Ela Lechaluka, that the Ribui of Kol Zohar is coming to teach us that the blemish Kohen is included in the division of the Karbanos. He has a right to share in the Karbanos, just like an unblemished Kohen does. Tanya Idach, we have another Braisa, and the Braisa is darshaning the Pasuk L'gabi Chatos in Vayikra Vav. It says, Kol Zachar Bakonim Yochal Osa. This is a slightly different Pasuk than the one we quoted before, L'gabi Mincha. And the Kol Zachar is L'rabos Balei Mumim. Again, Lamai. What is this Rebbe teaching me? Ila Chila Harei Kfar Omer Lechem Alakov Mikodshei HaKadoshim Yochal, as we saw earlier. And if you're going to tell me the Rebbe's Linyan Chaluka Harei Kfar Omer, that also we derive from Kol Zachar Mnei Aaron Yochlena in the Parasha Mincha. So the Bryce has to answer what this Kol Zachar Bakodim Yochal is coming to include. Sheyochal, I would have thought, Ainli Ela Tam, Vinasa Balmum. At least he was born without a blemish. They became a Balmum, a Balmume Karo. If he was born with a Mum, Minayan, how do we know that even he's included, although he's a Mum by birth, he's also included in this halacha that he gets a chelek of the Karbonos? Talmud Lomar, there it says, Kol Zachar B'Kohen Yochal Osa, to be married, but even a Kohen Bal Mumei Koro, from the time he was born. Tanya Idach, we have another Braisa. There's a Pasuk with regard to Asham in Vayikra Zayin, Kol Zachar B'Kohenim Yochlena, again a Kol, this time in Vayikra Zayin, till now we're doing Vayikra Vav, about Mincha, and about Chatos, now we're up to Asham, is the Rabbos Bal Mum. Now again, the Bryce says, "Lamai ilach ilu rekvar omer, ilach haluka rekvar omer, ilu balmumi karo rekvar omer." So we have a rebuy for both Achila, Chalukah, and a Balmum from birth. Yishayocha, I might think, Einli, Ela, Balmum, Kavua. But Balmum over Minayin. We need a ribui for Balmum over. Again, this seems very strange. And the Gemara is going to ask that immediately. Is Talmud Lomar called Zohar? So Gemara says, Klape Laya. Which way are you turning? In other words, it should be the opposite way. If you want to have a ribui, then have a ribui for Balmum Kavua that's permanent. There's more of a reason to be matir in the case of Balmum over than in the case of Balmum Kavua. So why would we need a pasuk to be matir Balmum over if you already have a pasuk to be matir Balmum Kavua? The Gemara answers on Rav Sheshes Epoch. That you should switch around this answer. You should tell me that that this last pasuk is coming to be marbe of Balmum Kavua, and if I need another pasuk to be marbe, in other words, the last pasuk is coming to be marbe a Balmum over, now I need another pasuk to be marbe a Balmum Kavua. Rav Ashi Amalom Lo Tepach the Itzrich. I need a ribui for a Balmum Kavua. Salke Daitach, I mean, I would have thought. And here we're turning to Daf, Kuf, Beis, Omid Beis. Ki Tame, that the din of a Balmum is the same identical din as a Tame. Let's compare him to a Tame. Ma Tame, Kamadalo Tar, Lo Ochil. Since the Tame is in a temporary state, we're going to have to wait until that temporary state passes and he becomes Tar. And until that he doesn't eat, afai nami. Let's say the same thing in the case of Balmum over. We'd rather if he eat it after his mum passes, when he heals himself, is kamadilo miskan. Right now he hasn't rectified his situation. The mum is still there. Lo elchi. In the meantime, he shouldn't eat it. So Balmum kavur would certainly eat it because he has no takana. HaKadosh Baruch had Rachmanis on him. He was matir him to eat it. But HaKadosh Baruch doesn't have Rachmanis on a Balmum over because let him just wait it out, so to speak. Kamash Balon, the Torah tells us, no, it's not so. That even a Balmum kavua, a Balmum over is allowed to eat kachim even though his mum has not passed yet. And now we're up to the part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah back on Sadi Chesam and Beis, Kol Sheino Roy, and Bali Nether will pick that up. We'll pick that up tomorrow.